Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Hi, I'm Rob Schneider.
And I'm Kevin David Thomas.
And happy Throwback Thursday.
Huzzah!
Huzzah!
My day, everybody.
Thursday, everybody. We are so happy to be here. How have you been? It has been a while.
I know. I feel like I haven't seen you in forever, ever.
First of all, how random was it that you and I spent Thanksgiving literally 10 minutes apart from each other without
isn't
even
that
realizing
crazy?
It?
I know, Rob. I saw a tweet somewhere and Rob's like, I'm going to Doylestown for Thanksgiving. And I was like, Doylestown, Pennsylvania? And my family lives in Lansdale, Pennsylvania, which is literally a township over. And I did a ride-along with my cousin, who's a sergeant in the police force of Lansdale.
Did you really?
An overnight ride-along, they call it. You know, 6 o'clock to 6 a.m., I was with him in the car, and I really was worried I was going to see you, Rob. I really thought there was a chance that there...
I was going to be arrested?
I don't know. I didn't know.
For
you
what
know?
Crime? For singing off-key? For caring too passionately about High Fidelity the musical?
I love High Fidelity the musical.
Me too.
When the closing notice was posted, I bought a ticket. I bought a ticket to see it again.
Really?
Yeah, that's how I was a huge fan of it. Side note.
Tom Kitt, Amanda Green.
Yeah. This musical was, it was like Wedding Singer was on Broadway and they couldn't handle two musicals of that caliber of you know, 80s, 90s. You know, throwback. Really? I mean, I honestly think that if Wedding Singer wasn't there, High Fidelity would have lasted much longer.
Oh
no offense
God.
To Wedding Singer, which is awesome and a great show. And remember, the set was nominated for a Tony Award because it
was
so insane.
If you guys get the chance, go online. Mm-hmm. Either on YouTube
the score
or just
is
Google
awesome.
Images. Look at the set for High Fidelity because the set was amazing.
This is sick.
High Fidelity only ran 13 performances.
You're lying.
Yes. So I'm not lying.
No, I know. I must have seen it in previews then.
They had a long... And then it was only 13 performances, and then it was like, boom, we're gone.
I'm still stupefied because the score is, I think, you guys, Next to Normal. I mean, the same guy who wrote Next to Normal wrote High Fidelity.
Music by Tom Kitt.
That's right.
Lyrics by Amanda Green.
That's right.
Who... Although she's done amazing, wonderful things, her father is Adolph Green, the famous lyricist himself.
Nice pedigree.
Right? Yeah. David Lindsay Abaire did the book.
Yeah.
Walter Bobby directed.
Yeah.
This was a great show.
Real.
Yeah. For those of you...
I forgot. Walter Bobby directed that?
Yeah, Walter Bobby directed it.
Whom we interviewed. You guys, you should listen to the interview
episode
we had with him.
Episode 3.
Is it really?
Yeah, he was episode 3 for us.
Wow.
Ask me what my favorite thing is this week.
What's your favorite thing this week?
Well, it's a musical called High Fidelity.
You asshole. Are you serious?
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
Oh my God.
So I feel like I just ruined the episode.
How did you ruin the episode?
I don't know, because we just started talking about...
Well,
I don't even know what we were talking about before.
I was debating between one or another.
Okay.
And I won't do the other.
All right,
but the other one was High Fidelity, so
good
I figured
one,
like
Rob.
We should just like go into
Let's
it.
Let's just talk about
so,
it.
Okay, so going back, High Fidelity, ladies and gentlemen.
Ugh.
I got to see it when I was on a trip to New York, and I fell in love with it because I think it's one of the first musicals that really captures the 21st century voice.
Oh. Yes, definitely. That's what spoke so resonantly with me. Because Tom Kitt does not write like Jason Robert Brown. He doesn't write like... He has a real more populist but theatrical writing point of view.
Yes.
And it sounds contemporary.
Very contemporary.
Even though... And it's based on the movie. That's a very... You know, you have that theory about popular movies. Because if the movie's too popular, then the musical can't live up to the movie.
I think so. Because I think we've seen that. I think we've seen that on stuff like 9 to 5, where, you know, the movie was so successful. I even think The Wedding Singer, to some extent.
I agree.
No offense to anybody on The Wedding Singer that loves The Wedding Singer. But anyway, so High Fidelity, for those of you who don't know, it's based on a book from 1995. And then there was a very famous movie made with John Cusack in 2000. He's Rob. He runs a record store. And he has a girlfriend named Laura. He lives a pretty apathetic life.
He's like your typical, like, runs a record store. Yeah, you could say slacker, totally. Or, like, is anybody buying records in circa 1995?
I feel like if he was in Williamsburg, Brooklyn right now, I'm sure he'd be doing fabulously.
Today. Yeah.
But
20 years ago, not so much.
So his girlfriend leaves him.
Right.
Laura.
Because she's like, you're not doing anything, dude. You're running a record store and that's it.
Yeah. And so then it's all about him trying to figure out what exactly is he doing with his life. I think what it speaks to, though, is I think it speaks to all of us, especially us, who have these obsessions and want to tell every single person about, you know, stopping people on the street going, let me talk to you about my Angel Cast recording.
Right. Let me tell you about Trudy Rittman, please.
Let me tell you about Trudy Rittman. To which the person says, please, sir.
Who?
Just tell me, do you want foam or no foam? Speaking of foam, you know, Trudy Rittman, she didn't like foam. I don't know why she has a frappuccino, but good for her.
I know.
So anyway, this is High Fidelity from 2006. It's a great cast recording. Mm. I just want to... Amanda Green as a lyricist. Mm-hmm. I am obsessed with Amanda Green as a lyricist. I would like you to listen to the first number on the recording called The Last Real Record Store.
Great opening number.
It's a great opening number. I think it's about 8 minutes long. I love it. I think it's perfection. But I want you to listen to how clearly she sets up this world, how clearly she defines everybody's point of view. It is a great, great opening number. Other songs that I love, Desert Island Top 5 Breakups, because Rob is obsessed with making lists.
That's right. The lead character. Yes.
Yeah, all he can do is categorize.
It's Will
things.
Chase.
Will Chase.
In the Broadway production.
Oh, Will Chase.
Yeah, we love the Will Chase.
What a voice on
him. I saw him just recently in Something Rotten. I mean, hello. Like,
who
well
does
done,
not love
sir.
Him? And Jen Colella?
Yeah.
As Laura, his
That's
girlfriend?
That's his girlfriend, yeah.
And I kind of like that they're named Rob and Laura. Like
That's
the Dick Van Dyke
yeah,
show
totally.
For us TV show fans.
So yeah, no, that meant nothing to me until you just said it, and then I got it. But the breakup, that song is fantastic because he goes through, he's basically saying, Laura, you don't even make the top five list of the girls that I've been with.
Yeah.
Even though it's like the lady doth protest too much me thing. You know, like he obviously is hung up on her, and it's like a tour de force number. I mean, like, it's crazy.
It's a great number, and if any guy out there is looking for something really fun to do this. There are two songs also I just really want to mention quickly, and then we're going to move on because
I could
go on about this all day. Amanda Green's lyrics in a song called Ready to Settle, I think are so brilliant because that to me was when I first sat there and said, this is really a voice for the 21st century, because it exposes sort of our apathy, I think, sometimes, or at least our generation's apathy towards fully committing themselves over to each other. And I think it's a very contemporary sounding love song.
Yeah.
I think it is a love song in the Rodgers and Hammerstein vein, just with lyrics that match today's current.
We're not in the 60s
feeling.
Anymore.
No, we're not in the 60s.
There's a different world out there. Yeah, you're right.
And for those of you who really want to do some more research on High Fidelity, there is a couple of cut songs from the show. I did a concert.
Are there, Rob?
Yes.
As I lean forward, because I love the songs. To
there
show.
Is one that is hysterical. I don't know if, I think you would have to contact Amanda directly to get it. This song is called Can I Touch Your Breasts?
Really?
And it's the funniest song I've heard in a very long time. Can I Touch Your Breasts? From High Fidelity.
Who sings that?
Can I touch your breast? Let me touch your breast. I think Rob was supposed to sing it at some point, and then they got rid of it. Anyway, if you don't know High Fidelity, like I said, only ran, sadly, 13 performances in 2006. It is a great show to be doing at community theaters. It's a great show to be doing at intimate theaters. I would love to see this come back at some point. It is about time we bring back the brilliance of High Fidelity. I am done. I need a nap.
I will spoon you.
My God, sir.
Because I do,
my
too.
God,
no, I
sir.
Really... But I do. I just am so thankful that you brought that up because it really was... It was so... That production, I remember... It's weird that you can remember exactly where you are. I remember why I bought a ticket again to see it. I remember thinking... That was one of the first shows I thought... You know, I saw Dance of the Vampires and I was like, not surprised. You know?
Oh, yeah.
It was epic. It was huge. But you're like, I get it. This isn't working. But High Fidelity, that was the first time in my... You know, I was like 20... How old? What year was it? 2006? I was 26 and I was like... Well, shit, this is a really great show. This is unfair. You know, that was one of the first shows that I really felt I was bummed out because I thought all these actors are robbed.
Absolutely. You know what? It's so funny you say that because I was on vacation here in New York and I went to TKTS and I said, what do you recommend? And the name High Fidelity went by in the thing. I said, what about High Fidelity? And the guy was like, oh, it's not very good. It's not very good. I'm like, I will take one for that, please.
Good for you.
Because you know what? Let's go see what this is. Let's see what this is about.
You say potato, I say High Fidelity. I mean, come on.
What do you say is your favorite thing, though, this week?
Okay.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
So I've got a website. I've got a YouTube clip.
A YouTube? Oh. Kevin, I have to tell you something. I am obsessed with YouTube clips.
They're really fun.
I mean, I go down the rabbit hole.
There is some crazy stuff out there.
But you have introduced me to ones I have never seen before. And you know what? We should mention this. Oh, my God. Who is the wonderful woman that you introduced me to?
I have to say, I just want to...
Lucretia Campbell.
We're going to take it down a little bit. Lucretia Campbell was our favorite thing. It was one of my first favorite things. She's a gospel singer and a wonderful, wonderful performing artist. And she was one of my favorite things when she was doing one of the show on the, in the circuit. And there's a clip of her singing. We talked about it. Unfortunately, she passed away a couple months ago.
Yes, unfortunately.
And that really, like, I don't know. It bummed me out because it was like, I didn't know she was, you know, I read up, I saw a couple things that she was sick, but it really, you know, she's way too young to go. And I, you know, what an artist, you know, that transcended past gospel, past anything, but just a great musical artist, you know. So shout out to Lucretia Campbell one more time.
Lonely old woman,
you guys, check it out again.
So what
please.
Is your YouTube clip? Because you introduced
my YouTube
me to amazing
clip,
things.
Well, you know this one.
Do I really?
Yeah, I know you know this one. Yeah. So, this is from 1977. This is a woman who we will be seeing on Broadway this season. We've all forgotten, unless you watch CBS Sunday Morning and watch the commercials. They don't even have B-roll footage yet of it. But we know she's coming, and we know it's going to be big and it's going to be good.
Is this Bette Midler?
Oh, yes.
What?
It's the clip that everybody forgets is so wacky and wild and amazing. Now, Bette has done... Now, guys, Bette Midler. Some of you know, but some of you may be like, I love Bette Midler from, you know, from a distance or from like
Hocus
beaches.
Pocus.
Hocus Pocus. But you guys, there's a darker, and my older friends definitely know, there's like a seedier, dirtier side to Bette. Now, I grew up loving Bette Midler.
Did you really?
Oh my God, Robin, Elmira, New York. I don't know what happened. I don't know why. It wasn't Barbara. It wasn't Judy. It was Bette Midler for me. She was wacky and crazy.
Oh my God.
And just the Divine Miss M, that video was everything to me. I loved watching her craziness. I saw her in concert in 2000, and that woman can make you cry so hard from her performance when she sings Stay With Me Baby.
Yeah.
And then the next song will be a comedy number and you've got tears in your eyes because you're laughing so hard. She can turn on a dime like that. So this is a funny number she does in 1977 from a special she did on TV. And she had to tone down her work for this TV special because Bette Midler was known as Bathhouse Bette, meaning she performed in the Continental Bathhouses of
with,
New York City.
Who was her?
With Barry Manilow as her piano player. You guys, bathhouses in the 60s and 70s, full of fun and debauchery and happiness, and Bette Midler and Barry Manilow playing and singing songs and entertaining you. Now, Bette was cast... As we interviewed Joanna Merlin, the casting director, you know, she recommended to Hal Prince to hire this Bette Midler lady to replace, was it Seidel, I think, in Fiddler on the Roof, the original cast of Fiddler on the Roof. Bette Midler was a replacement.
Did you ever read the book Audition by Michael Shurtleff?
No.
It's like the big audition book that everyone says, like, that's the Bible of how to audition. Yeah. But there's a
guess very, I should read it.
Just really, really well, explains a lot about my career by not reading it. There's a very, very a little paragraph in there that just mentions the fact that she was one of the came down to her and whoever got it from Mary Magdalene in Jesus Christ Superstar, and everybody said that she sang it better, although they didn't think she was pretty enough to play Mary Magdalene. But that also would have been a big Broadway break for her. I'm so sorry.
No, it's fascinating. And everyone's like, Kevin, what is the clip already? So the clip is the special is, it's the opening number of her special, which is, the special is Ole Miss Red Hair is Back, starring Bette Midler and Dustin Hoffman.
What?
And you, but
Kevin,
the,
I've never seen
no,
this.
No, you do know what this is. The opening number, picture it, Hawaii, a beach setting, Hawaiian natives on the beach. The music starts. It's very like gung 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 gung. Like it's like a Hawaiian setting. Like you're picturing a luau. Maybe there's guys that are gonna spin some fire for a little bit, and then all of a sudden they do this number, and there's a clam shell, a big oversized clam shell, because they're fishing with nets. And the music's going, and then they pull the nets, and the big guys that are shirtless, they're like, and they're definitely like tan, and they're like look Hawaiian and or Polynesian, and then they're pulling that shell up. And then the music, and they're singing this song. I don't even know what the song is, but it's some language. And they're all disturbed. They're like, what is this clam? This clam is huge. It's the size of this apartment. And then the clam comes out. And at the cadence of the music, the clam opens up. And Bette Midler comes out of the clam in the bikini. And what does she sing? She sings Oklahoma.
I have never seen this.
You're kidding me.
I've never seen this.
All right, you guys, pause what you're doing right now. Type in Bette Midler Oklahoma into YouTube, pause, watch it, come back. Hello, welcome back. So what you noticed was this, some things to look at. So this is 1977. There's all these natives singing this. They're like, hugga booga. That sounded very Native American, but it was very similar. And then she comes, the clam opens up, and literally she goes right into, oh, but she kind of climaxes on the oak. So it's like, oh, Oklahoma every night. And then she goes into Oklahoma, bathing suit. She's got like, I mean, and she's her choreography is very like hula, you know, like
I have never
seen. We're gonna watch this after this is over. And so she does the hula dance, but she sings Oklahoma to the whole thing. And then the people, the ensemble, the natives, they start dancing, but they don't dance. She's dancing the hula. But in like every night, my honey lemon, I every note we sit alone, and it's so like choreographed. But they're doing country dancing in the background, and then all of a sudden, in the middle of it, these fire, like they light these things on fire and spin them.
Who
and
was then smoking?
I'm serious. This is the opening number of this TV special, and then. So there's the fire spinners, and then there's the Oklahoma, and then it's like, we know we belong to the land. So during that section, she takes these two balls and starts spinning them.
Fire.
Yeah, no, but she doesn't have fireballs.
She doesn't have
fireballs. Because they don't like them on fire, but she's just spinning them, like special magical, you know, like spinning them. And it's like, Oklahoma spinning, and then she throws them, and she's like, we know we belong to the land. And it's so, and then,
I have never
and when
seen
we
this.
Say, yow, when she does that on the yow, she shimmies and shakes her tits. So it's like, and when we say yow,
I so wish we had a TV show, because Kevin is literally acting out everything she is doing. I need to watch the clip.
I'm worn out, you guys. And then so she sums it up with that. It's just one chorus, one verse, like a verse, chorus, get out of there.
Oh, and my then, God.
I can't believe we've never seen it. And O-K-L-A-H-O-M-A, and she goes, Oklahoma, yow. And then she gets back into the clamshell during the little break. Then she sees the sexy guy, and she grabs him, pulls him into the clam. Clam closes. It goes away. And then the wife of the other guy starts banging it. You can see it in the bottom of the TV screen. She's like banging, like, get me back my husband. And then it's like, then it goes to commercial, and it's like the Women's Garment Workers Association union. I'm not even kidding you. The Women's Garment Association is the sponsor of it. Meanwhile, Bette's wearing nothing. She's literally in a bikini and that's it. And that's where you get the bathhouse Bette. And so doing some research, you find out that she's like, they had to tone it down for this thing. And that was the tone down. But what I want to know is, Rob, whose idea was it to be like, hey, Hawaiian setting, island, beach in the back.
Well,
they're fishing. They get the clamshell. They open it. And she sings Oklahoma. My question is, how's she getting the clamshell? Why is she singing Oklahoma? What's the why?
Well, I don't know if you
saw. But it doesn't matter.
If you saw the opening credits, but it says screenplay by Arthur Miller.
Killing me.
Arthur Miller needed some money, and that's what he wrote.
Even, it even says when they pull it, it says the show opens, and it's like they're dancing, and it says a peaceful island somewhere in the South Pacific. So they're even specific.
Kevin. David,
so you're welcome, Rob, Thomas, and everybody else. You're welcome.
I have never seen this. All right,
I thought for sure you knew exactly what this was.
You bring me gold every time you mention a YouTube clip. You, sir, bring me gold,
and I hope
we hope we brought you gold. High Fidelity
and Bette Midler sings Oklahoma in a Polynesian South Pacific island.
My God, we will see you all. Next time, we hope we will see you all next time. Until then, Kevin and I will be in the clamshell. Take care.
Yow!
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.